You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Kim Hahn.
And I'm Erin Wager-Miller. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, April 8th, 2019.
The ability for young professionals, workforce housing, even middle-income folks to be able to afford homes in Bloomington is becoming very difficult. It's one of our biggest challenges right now.
Later in the program, WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Bloomington City Council at-large candidate Matt Flaherty in today's feature report. That's coming up later in the program in today's edition of Big Talk Extra.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Tracy Young talks about her volunteerism with the American Red Cross Disaster Services on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, your daily headlines.
The Indiana House Committee on Financial Institutions will consider a bill tomorrow that would allow for higher interest rates on payday loans. As WFHB correspondent Cade Young reports, Senate Bill 613 would raise rates to levels that are currently considered felony loan sharking.
Senate Bill 613 would increase the interest rates subprime lenders can make. Many of those lenders sell subprime loans, or what are often called payday loans, to people with low credit ratings. The Indiana State Senate narrowly passed Senate Bill 613 last month. That bill would enable subprime lenders to charge interest rates on small loans at levels above what is considered felony loan sharking under current Indiana law. The bill passed on a close 26-23 vote. Senate Bill 613 was authored by Senate Republicans Andy Zay of Wabash and Mark Messmer of Jasper. Senate Bill 613 comes before the House Committee on Financial Institutions tomorrow. Republicans have 9 seats on the 13-member committee, including District 62 Representative Jeff Ellington, Indianapolis Democratic Representative Kerry Hamilton, the ranking minority member on the Committee on Financial Institutions, says the payday loan industry takes advantage of people who are forced into needing cash to pay for necessities like rent, car payments, and food. Fellow Democratic State Representative Robin Shackelford, chair of the Indiana Black Legislative Caucus, said Senate Bill 613 would adversely affect minorities across the state. Under current Indiana law, criminal loan sharking annual percentage rates cannot exceed 72%. Senate Bill 613 was referred to the House Committee on Financial Institutions last month. The bill is set for a first reading tomorrow. For WFHB, I'm Cade Young.
Monroe County Commissioner Amanda Barge announced her resignation this afternoon. The announcement came in the form of 2 letters, the first of which stated the embattled commissioner would step down next Monday, April 15th. A little while later, a second letter stated the resignation would take effect immediately. Barge is accused of sexually harassing a former independent county contractor for months. The allegations came to light after the Indiana Daily Student published an expose 2 weeks ago. That article included surreptitious recordings of Barge by the former contractor, Brandon Drake. Drake also made available text messages and emails to the IDS, which were published in the article. On Saturday, the Monroe County Democratic Party called for Barge's immediate resignation as a county commissioner. That statement also called for her to publicly state she will not accept the Democratic Party candidacy for mayor should she win in the May 8th primary against incumbent Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton. Barge publicly suspended her campaign 2 weeks ago, the same day the IDS article was released. Barge's resignation letter as commissioner reads in part, quote, It is with a heavy heart and concern for my family that I announce my resignation from the position of County Commissioner effective today. I struggled mightily with this decision and how to defend myself in a way that is respectful to all. I feel strongly that an independent investigation and restorative justice mediation would be appropriate, a full and fair process by which allegations can be evaluated. I will reach out to the ministerial community for help with this, unquote. Barge maintains an independent practice as a counselor and therapist. In her statement to the IDS, after being notified of their article about Drake's sexual assault allegations, she had characterized Drake as a, quote, disgruntled former health department contractor who has chosen to take public and private communications out of context to further his personal and political agenda, unquote. Barge has served as a Monroe County Commissioner since 2016.
Today is the last day to register to vote for this upcoming May primary. Indiana residents must have lived in their precinct for 30 days prior to the upcoming May 8th primary in order to be eligible to vote. You can check your voter registration status and register to vote by going to the state's voter registration website at indianavoters.com. Voters also need a state-issued ID, such as a state student ID, driver's license, or state ID card in order to register. The deadline to register to vote in the upcoming May primary election is midnight tonight. In Bloomington, the May 8th primary will choose a Democrat candidate for mayor, as well as city council candidates for five districts. Districts 1, 2, 4, and 5, as well as three candidates for at-large seats on the Bloomington Common Council.
Incumbent Bloomington Mayor John Hambleton was endorsed by Democracy for Monroe County last week. The endorsements by the self-described progressive nonpartisan organization comes after Democratic candidates Amanda Barge and incumbent Hamilton debated on March 18th at the Monroe County Public Library. Democracy for Monroe County met on Thursday to announce their endorsement of Hamilton. Hamilton's campaign manager, Kaisa Goodman, says the incumbent mayor's progressive policies won him their endorsement.
John is a progressive mayor who really gets things done. He's extremely effective as a mayor. He was endorsed by Democracy for Monroe County in 2015, the first time that he was elected mayor, and specifically his work on environmental sustainability, improving our infrastructure, improving our water quality in Lake Monroe, affordable housing, economic growth, and having Bloomington become the first CDFI-friendly city in the country were all specifics that were discussed.
Democracy for Monroe County also endorsed Bloomington City Council District 5 candidate Isabel Piedmont Smith and at-large City Council candidates Gene Kapler and Jim Sims at their meeting Thursday. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Kim Hahn.
And I'm Erin Wager-Miller. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar-powered generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
WFHB is supported by you, our listeners. Please consider making a donation by calling 812-323-1200 as we continue to reach for our goal during this spring fund drive. WFHB's annual budget is a majority funded by individual contributions. Please consider calling 812-323-1200 and helping nonprofit independent media meet our spring fund drive goal. Or you can donate online at wfhb.org. Please help us bring programs like the Daily Local News by helping to fund nonprofit independent media. Please call today at 812-323-1200. Your donation matters.
Matt Flaherty is a Bloomerang resident. returning to this town in 2013 after practicing law in Chicago for 2 years. He earned his law degree at the Maurer School and is back at IU in his 30s, hoping to earn master's degrees in public affairs and environmental science. Flaherty is running in the Democratic primary for one of the 3 at-large seats on Bloomington City Council. A professional runner who commutes by bicycle, he has a special interest in an environment on a local level. He joined host Michael Gleb on last week's Big Talk. The conversation continues today on Big Talk Extra.
Well, let's talk about some of the things you would like to accomplish should you be elected to City Council. On your website, you talk about a variety of issues. Let's talk about one or two of them. First one, how about this? Climate action and resilience. What do you mean by resilience?
I mean that our community needs to be looking at climate change impacts, which are already happening, extreme weather fluctuations, flooding in our community, and thinking about how do we build resilient infrastructure and social systems to deal with what are going to be, you know, increasingly challenging environmental circumstances because of climate change.
In other words, how to react to all this craziness.
Yes. It's sometimes called adaptation, but resilience is sort of the term of art at the moment. The Environmental Resilience Institute at IU is looking at similar challenges for Indiana.
Now, here's an interesting thing. You say you hope to develop a city climate action plan. The aim of that plan, zero emissions by 2050, 2050?
That's right.
How do you get that done?
Yeah, it's a big challenge. And of course, ultimately, we're probably going to need state and federal support. And I think you have to count on those coming on board at some point, though we shouldn't wait. There are many municipalities and cities all over the U.S. that have committed to this goal, zero emissions by the year 2050 or sooner. In fact, Indianapolis has committed to that.
Uh-huh.
Cincinnati has committed to that and maybe even one up to that and is looking for zero emissions, at least in some sectors, by I think the year 2030. The Green New Deal, of course, has called for zero emissions by the year 2030, which is extraordinarily ambitious, and I unequivocally support that goal. And we need to be thinking about 2050 or sooner. I'll also mention the Paris Agreement on climate change, which had a goal of 80% reductions as compared to, I believe, 2005 baseline by the year 2050. So our mayor and our county commissioners have both stated our commitment to the Paris Agreement on climate change, as many, many other communities have, including many universities and institutions as well. There's a coalition of those groups called the We Are Still In Coalition that all say we're going to meet these goals. But that is a very, very big change in terms of our infrastructure and built environment. I think oftentimes people think about climate change as a global or national issue, but it could not be farther from the truth. This impacts all levels of government, and all levels of government need to be involved in the solution. We have a lot of impact here in our built environment, how we pursue development, how we pursue our transportation system, our energy system, all of these things that City Council and the mayoral administration have a lot of impact on, we need to be thinking about.
Now, speaking of transportation, under the umbrella of social and economic equity, which is one of your priorities, you talk about equitable transportation. What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean having safe, sustainable, and accessible transportation options for everyone. So it is true that many of our poorest community members cannot drive out of economic necessity. They are simply unable to afford a car. Yet we don't have full Sunday service for transit.
Right.
I've talked to folks.
How do you get to work?
Right. I've talked to folks who have to find jobs that are willing to give them Sundays off.
Yeah.
That's really hard. That really restricts
it
your job
sure
pool.
Is. Retail, they're not going to do that.
Right. And you still need to access your basic amenities like grocery stores and all the rest on Sundays. But also just making sure that the transit system not only has full service 7 days a week, but that it's more viable than it currently is. As anyone who's ridden the bus in this town knows, it can take you a long time to get across town. There's currently an update to the Bloomington Transit's plan and routes that they're working on to make it more efficient. But part of that's going to be that we need to invest some public dollars from at the local level in transit. State and federal funds have been stagnant, if not declining, and Bloomington Transit is kind of operating at capacity. So there are things we can do to help move forward if we really do value having equitable transportation in our community. And the great thing about that is it's also sustainable. So transit's a sustainable solution. So for me, I talk about climate action and resilience, and I talk about social and economic equity, but the reality is those are two sides of the same coin in the year 2019.
Equitable housing.
Yeah, similarly, I think, you know, when we talk about development, We need to be looking at housing affordability broadly, as well as affordable housing and where we put it. So when I think about affordable housing, I want to prioritize it in transit-oriented and walkable areas. If you remove the need for car ownership from, you know, lower-income folks who might qualify for affordable housing and who may otherwise be having a hard time meeting basic needs, you can really do a lot to help them, you know, grow wealth. So there's progressive cities like the city of Pittsburgh in its Department of Mobility and Infrastructure. They're not looking at people who are simply housing burdened. They're looking at housing plus transportation plus energy costs as a suite of expenses and saying instead of housing burdened housing happening at 30% of your income level, they say housing plus transportation plus energy should be less than 45% of your income at all income levels. So thinking more holistically about where we put affordable housing is really important. But then I also want to talk about housing affordability more broadly. So not just in subsidized or income capped housing, but the ability for young professionals, workforce housing, even middle-income folks to be able to afford homes in Bloomington is becoming very difficult. Mm-hmm. It's one of our biggest challenges right now. And there's kind of three paths forward, two of which I think are not the right paths. One of which is, you know, downtown, monolithic, Smallwood-esque buildings. Most people don't like those. They are pretty green, actually, in some context, because the footprint, you know, per unit is relatively low. But people hate the design, they hate the look, and they're not very useful buildings after, you know, 30, 40 years. They're not adaptable. So I don't think that's a great type of development to pursue. The other thing about that is it's largely luxury student housings where young professionals or families don't want to live. The other path I don't like is sprawling outwards. That's something we absolutely should be avoiding. We know sprawl is bad for congestion. It's bad for pollution. It's sometimes you hear the phrase drive till you qualify, that if you are lower income or middle income, you have to drive further and further out until you qualify for a home that you can afford. I think that's really inequitable and unsustainable. So when we talk about housing solutions, the type of solutions I would like to see are thoughtful and intentional infill development that will increase density in our core in transit-oriented and walkable areas in a way that, no, doesn't destroy the neighborhood, but does bring everyone along and make sure that, you know, folks can afford homes.
Here's another thing you talk about, and I've got to tell you, I have said this before, and I'll say it again. Every candidate talks about this. You've got to tell me why your mention of this is different. You want accessible, transparent city government.
You know, I've said in a number of candidate forums recently that we only have one city council member currently, and that's Isabel Piedmont Smith, who holds regular public meetings.
Right.
I think that's a really big shortcoming of our current council.
Yeah.
We need to be accessible and available. And there has been some pushback at these forums from other city council members who say, I am accessible. I am available. My phone number's out there, my email. But in door knocking all over town, I repeatedly talk to folks who say, I've emailed my council member 15, 20 times, never heard back. People don't know always how to email you. They might not hear back. I think a public meeting once a month is a minimum bar we should expect from our civil servants to make sure that people are available to talk to you.
So you're going to do that should you be elected?
Of course. Yeah, I have pledged to monthly public meetings in areas rotating around town is my vision so that I can better meet people where they are. And in fact, I'm doing that during the campaign. I have four public meet and greets in four consecutive weeks. Three of them are still remaining. The second thing I've done in that context is I've pledged to hold monthly public meetings on campus and really try to get our student and university population generally, staff, faculty, everyone, more involved in city government and city issues and making sure that we're including everyone in the conversation.
Okay, Matt, somebody wants to get in contact with your campaign. How do they do it?
Yeah, they can find me at www.flahertyforbloomington.com or flahertyforbloomington@gmail.com. So we've got, you know, contact info there, a form you can fill out to share an idea, ask a question. Like I mentioned, I'll also have a number of public meet and greets still coming up. And then also you can reach me at 812-558-9192. You know, if you have an idea, something you want to discuss, please call me.
That was Matt Flaherty speaking with Big Talk's Michael Glab. Full episodes of Big Talk air Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WFHB.
Support for WFHB comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
WFHB's seeking donations during our spring fund drive. Please help support our News and Public Affairs Department's 28 programs, 21 of which, including the Daily Local News, are produced in-house by our dedicated team of volunteers, interns, and staff members. Please give us a call and tell us why you support nonprofit, independent programming. Our number is area code 812-323-1200.
You can also donate safely on our website, wfhb.org. There you'll find links to all of our Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists award-winning original programming. WFHB's News and Public Affairs Department includes a lineup of the state's only independently produced African-American news and public affairs program, Bring It On, the state's only independently produced LGBTQ plus news and public affairs program, Blooming Out, the state's only independently produced Spanish language news and public affairs program, Hola Bloomington, and much more.
Please call and support independent nonprofit WFHB at 812-323-1200 or donate online at wfhb.org. You can also get involved by attending a new volunteer orientation on the first Wednesday of every month. So Wednesday, May 1st, at the station at 108 West 4th Street in downtown Bloomington. That new volunteer orientation takes place at 6:30.
Thank you so much for supporting independent news and public affairs programming by calling 812-323-1200 and by donating online at wfhb.org. We're very proud to bring you almost 1,500 original programs every year, so please support WFHB and support Eco Report on your community radio station. Call now at 812-323-1200. And now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring audio profiles of local volunteers who stand up for what they believe in, spark change, and create meaningful impact in our community. We invite you to get to know some of these volunteers through their inspiring stories of service.
Hi, I am Tracy Young, and I volunteer with the American Red Cross. To start off with, it was a childhood memory. I was in the car with my grandparents, and we came across a house fire. And my grandpa got out and tried to help and assist the people. My grandma got out too and gave hugs. And that just kind of resonated with me. And I can just remember that memory just of them being out there and helping the people and how appreciative they were. Fast forward several years, I was watching TV and they were showing a clip of, I think it was Hurricane Andrew. And there was a lady on there and they panned out and you could see the damage that the hurricane had done. And she was just talking about how she had lost everything. And she was just sobbing on TV. And I just felt it just in my heart. I just felt so much compassion and just wanting to reach out and just give her a hug. And that's kind of how it started. I am in the disaster services. So my main objectives that I would go out during off hours, that would be, you know, after 5 and until 9 o'clock the next day, if ever there was a community response needed, we're called where we'll go out and we'll provide service either to the person affected by the situation, or we also provide canteen service to the fire department. But what we do is when we get called out there, our job is to provide the immediate need, whether it's a local disaster or national disaster. From my experience with the Red Cross, I have met so many people, and it's comforting because I believe that there are real life angels walking this earth. I have met so many people that, you know, wonderful, just really caring individuals that are real life angels. A lot of times, you know, you can get kind of stuck in a rut, and you know, I've gone to national disasters where I'm on the plane and I may not be, you know, I'm flying down somewhere and I'm not in the best mindset, you know, for this or that, or this is not going right in my life, or that's not going right. And when I go down there and I see these people that have had their lives just totally turned upside down, in a lot of cases, they didn't have a whole lot to begin with. and then see the struggles that they're faced with. But then the perseverance and the attitude that, you know, we'll get through this. And it just, it always affects me that on the trip back, I realize how fortunate I really am and how blessed I am. And in return, that makes me, that keeps me going. That makes me want to continue to volunteer because I have been really fortunate in life. And I feel like, you know, because of that, I feel like I have a responsibility to give to others that maybe haven't been as fortunate as me. And that kind of keeps me going. So, and the Red Cross allows me to do that. But if anybody is interested, would like more information about it, they can go to redcross.org/volunteer. And, you know, we would be happy to sit down with you and just, you know, tell you about different things that the Red Cross, that we do, you know, if it, it could be, maybe you're interested in disaster services, but then we also have preparedness. We do the home fire campaign where we pass out smoke detectors to certain segments of a community. So that's, I mean, that's another thing that the Red Cross does. I mean, there's so many things that we do. There's so many different aspects of the Red Cross that if someone is interested, we'll put you in the right spot. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Activate, Young, and a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to inspire, engage, and connect individuals to their community. Listen to episodes of Activate online at WFHB.org. You can read more about the profile, see photos, and connect to featured organizations and causes. And visit BloomingtonVolunteerNetwork.org to discover even more opportunities to serve, give, and advocate. Get inspired. Inspire others. Activate in your community. For WFHB Community Radio and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
Been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Kate Young and Wes Martin, in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Kevin Oliver. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumsdaine, Scott Schmadeke, and Danny Graff. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Erin Wagermiller.
And I'm Kim Hahn. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news at WFHB.org.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system, coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a daily local news volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at wfhb.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.